Well, we'll come back to God's word, and we'll be looking at a few different passages today with that narrative of Exodus 16 in our minds as a background to the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray. Before we get to that, though, I thought we could do a quick breakfast survey. This is important for our ongoing awareness of what breakfasts people are eating here in the church. It's very helpful to know. So put your hands up if this morning for breakfast you had cereal. Any cereal eaters this morning? That's quite a popular choice. Okay. What about porridge? Any porridge? Oh, one hand immediately up. A very big porridge fan in Kate there. Did anyone have toast this morning? That's what I had, toast this morning. Okay. Did anyone have any eggs this morning? Whether boiled, poached, fried? No eggs this morning. Okay. Did anyone this morning have something that tasted like wafers made of honey that you found on the ground in the wilderness this morning? Did anyone have that this morning?
No.
You had honey. That's close, but not quite the same. Did you find it on the ground outside? It's in a jar from Tesco. Well, that breakfast of having something white like coriander seed that tasted like wafers made of honey, there was a period in history where that was a very popular, widely eaten breakfast in the wilderness. We read that earlier in Exodus 16 as God rained down that bread from heaven, and the Israelites didn't have cupboards that they could go to get their honey from Tesco. They didn't have shops that they could pop to, but they looked to the Lord to provide, and he provided for them. And our breakfast experience of porridge and toast and cereal and honey this morning is a very different kind of breakfast experience to the Israelites in the wilderness, watching the dew on the ground evaporate and then there was bread on it. But actually, I want us to see today that maybe our experience is not actually that different from the experience of the Israelites in the wilderness, eating the manna. As we pray, as our Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're remembering that even in the most mundane, basic things of life, like bread, we are completely 100% dependent on the provision of our Father in heaven, no more and no less than the Israelites in the wilderness who watched the dew on the ground evaporate. And as we pray today, give us our daily bread, it's a prayer that should humble us, as in fact the whole of our harvest service today should humble us as we remember our complete dependence on the God of heaven. But it's also a prayer, I hope we'll see, that reassures us as we remember that we can trust in our Heavenly Father's provision for us with each new day. So let's think about this prayer that Jesus gives us. Give us this day our daily bread, a prayer that humbles us and reassures us in our harvest celebration today. Thinking about how it's a humbling prayer, imagine with me two scenarios. Scenario one. We are in scenario one, back in the wilderness with the Israelites in Exodus 16. And there are two Israelites, let's call them Hannah and Adam. And one Monday morning, Hannah says to Adam, "Adam, we need some more bread." And what will Adam do to respond to that need for bread? Well, there in Exodus 16 with the Israelites, what Adam will say is, well, we'll wait for the dew to evaporate, and then there will be bread on the ground, the manna that tastes like honey. That's scenario one. Imagine scenario two. We're now in Bridgend. The year is 2022. And there are two people called Hannah and Adam. And one Monday morning, Hannah says to Adam, "Adam, we need some more bread." Now, what's Adam going to do in this situation? It's no longer about waiting for the dew to evaporate from the ground and for bread to appear. Now, Adam is going to go to the shop. It's based on a true story. Adam's going to go to the shop and choose some bread from the bewilderingly large selection of bread that you get in shops nowadays, and to pay for the bread and bring the bread home and eat it. Two scenarios, two ways of getting bread. And it's fairly obvious how God is involved in the first scenario, isn't it? There's a miraculous provision of bread from heaven that the Lord rains down. It's very obvious how God is involved in the first scenario. But what about the second? The scenario where Adam just goes to the shop and chooses some bread and pays for it with money from his bank account and then brings it home and eats it. How is God involved there? What the Bible says is that without God, I wouldn't be able to do any of it. Without God, I wouldn't be able to go to the shop and choose some bread and buy it with money from my bank account and bring it home and eat it. Without God, I wouldn't be able to do any of it. And even as a basic starting point, without God, there would be no world in the first place. There would be no you. There would be no me. There would be no Hannah and Adam in Bridge End 2022. We wouldn't be here. But even beyond that, without God continuing to work in this world, there'd be no weather, no rain and sun. There'd be no crops growing. There'd be no harvesters to harvest the crops and no bakers to bake the bread. There'd be no strength for us to get money and to go to the shop to spend the money to buy bread. The Bible tells us that God made the world. He made everything in the world. And he keeps it all going as well. And keeps us going as well. I think of some words that Paul said in one of his sermons in Acts, one of his addresses in Athens, in Acts 17. And he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything." Here's the key bit. "Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." That's quite comprehensive, isn't it, that list? Life, breath, and everything given by the God who made the world and everything in it. See, if you have food in your house today, whether honey from Tesco or anything else, the reason you have food in your house today, the reason we have food in our house today, not because, or not just because you've gone shopping recently or had the online delivery arrive at your house. It's not just because you have money in your bank account that you can use to buy food. It's because God, in his kindness, has made it possible for you to have food in your house today. Now, food may pass through lots of human hands to get to us, like the shop workers and the bakers and the harvesters. And it could include passing through the hands at the food bank as we give our food to people at the food bank who passed it on. Our food may pass through many hands to get to us, but behind all of those human hands are the hands of the God of heaven who makes it all possible. That if you have food in your house today, it's because the God who made this world and who owns this world and who sustains this world, it's because God in his kindness has given that food to you, has given it to us. That our harvest festival and everything that we've brought and everything we've eaten for breakfast, it's all only possible because of him. And that's a fairly basic point that we're not always very good at remembering. We're not very good at remembering because as humans, we like the idea of being independent. We like the idea of being able to do things ourselves and to get by on our own. We like that idea. Even in our relationships with each other, where people say, "Is there anything I can help with?" And the instinct maybe to say, "No, I'm fine." And we go and proceed to make a mess of it that we could have got some help with something. But we like to do things by ourselves and to get by on our own and to show that we can be independent. And more seriously, we can be slow to admit our dependence on God, on the God who made us, on the God who made everything. And that's not a new problem, and it's not a distinctly British problem, it's a human problem. that we find throughout human history, going back to Genesis chapter 3, the third chapter of the Bible, where Adam and Eve, the first humans, thought they would attempt to live life outside of God's rule, disobeying him, stepping away from him and from his perfect care and provision, thinking that maybe they would find a better life away from God. Instead of finding a better life, what they found was death. Because they were completely dependent on God for life and breath and everything. And so away from God, we don't find life, but death. And we can follow the same pattern in our lives, that we live in God's world and we enjoy God's good gifts that he gives to us every day, but we forget God. And that's what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. And as they were led into the land that God had promised them, here's how God spoke through the prophet Hosea. "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." Tragic, isn't it? "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." And maybe we can recognize that pattern in our own hearts, that God is so generous to us and gives us so much, and we take what he gives and we act like we've got it by our own efforts and all by ourselves, independent of anyone else, and we forget that God has given it to us. That attitude of independence that we find in our hearts, that means we are not always very good at remembering our complete dependence on the God who gives us life and breath and everything. And so as Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us our daily bread," he's teaching us to recognize our complete and utter dependence on God, even for the most basic stuff. The most basic of all foods, just bread, let alone anything else. That the Lord's Prayer is a corrective to that feeling of independence we can have, where we feel like we can get by ourselves, we can get by on our own as humans. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that that's not true. We need to look to God even for the most basic things. That's what makes it a humbling prayer. As we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," a prayer that humbles us, but also a prayer that reassures us. As we pray, "Give us our daily bread," we're humbled before the God of heaven, but we also find reassurance, because we remember that we have a Father in heaven who is looking out for our daily needs. That we have a Father in heaven who cares about our daily needs, even to the point of the most basic thing of bread. We have a Father in heaven who cares. That here on earth, we're not just left fending for ourselves and trying to scrabble about and get by ourselves. And we're not just relying on other humans around us. And we're not just the victims of forces outside of our control, whether natural forces or market forces or whatever other kind of forces. No, through Jesus, we are children of our Father in heaven. And we have this amazing privilege that we can speak to the God of the universe about our daily needs, even bread, the most basic thing of all. We remember as we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," that we have a Father in heaven who's looking out and caring and watching over those daily needs. And that's why we can be content to ask for just one day's bread. Striking the prayer, isn't it? "Give us this day our daily bread." Most of us probably now are used to doing a weekly shop, a big shop, as you maybe call it. And we may think, "Well, Father, give us this week our weekly food delivery." May Jesus teach us that we can come, just ask for one day. Just ask for one day. Why? Because we know that tomorrow we'll still be able to trust in his care. And the day after we'll still be able to trust in his care. And the day after we'll be able to trust in his care. We just come to him for each new day. It was a lesson the Israelites had to learn in the wilderness, wasn't it? Do you remember in the story? They were told to just collect enough for one day. And some of them tried to collect a bit more to keep over for the morning, just in case. And what happened? Well, some left part of it till the morning and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. And that stinking worm-infested bread was a rebuke to them that they should have trusted God and should have trusted God's promise. And for those who did trust God and who trusted God's promise, well, God did not let them down. That God faithfully provided for them just as he said he would, morning by morning, morning by morning, morning by morning. Do you remember the early days of COVID? I take that by some of those responses that you do remember, but you're trying to forget, and now I'm reminding you all over again. Those early days of COVID and the first lockdown, where you go to the supermarket and there'd be loads of empty shelves. Do you remember that? Because everyone was panic buying stuff. And obviously, the more people who panic buy, then more people feel like they need to panic buy, because you go into the shop and you'd have to get something while you could, because you didn't know if it'd still be there tomorrow. So you had to buy 10 packets of flour because you didn't know if there would be flour tomorrow or next week or the month afterwards. You didn't know, so you had to get it there because you couldn't trust what would be in the shop the next day. You couldn't guarantee it. The Bible gives us a wonderful guarantee that tomorrow our Father in heaven will be the same faithful, loving Father. Same tomorrow as he was yesterday, as he is today, he'll be the same. So we don't need to panic. Now we will have concerns, we'll have things that will trouble us, we'll have things that we'll keep bringing before our Father in heaven. There'll be situations where we'll be helping and supporting each other and bearing each other's burdens, but our Father is there today, tomorrow, and the day after. We don't need to panic. And after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, as we now call it, Jesus gives them a bit of a nature lesson to remind them of how they can trust in the provision of their Father in heaven. And maybe we can look at it together in Matthew chapter 6, which is on page 1471 of the Church Bibles. And I'll be reading verse 25. And as I'm reading, maybe you can picture the scenes that Jesus is describing in your heads. Imagine that we're outside somewhere and we can gesture to these different parts of God's creation. Jesus says from verse 25 of Matthew 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, one of the Old Testament kings, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, says Jesus. We don't need to be anxious about tomorrow because we know that God will be there tomorrow, the same faithful, loving Father in heaven. So we can pray for just one day of bread, knowing that the next day we'll be able to pray to our faithful, loving Heavenly Father. And so we can be free to just serve God with the provision of today and leave tomorrow until tomorrow. And tomorrow may bring trouble, and it may bring difficulty, and it may bring hardship, including financial or amount of food we have, hardship. And we're aware that as a nation we hear words like cost of living crisis and energy bills and all those kinds of things. We need to remember that Jesus doesn't promise a certain standard of living for us now. And it's interesting that he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's quite basic, isn't it? Not give us this day our daily Fortnum & Mason pork pie selection. Just pray for bread. But he does promise that whatever our standard of living, whatever our circumstances, wherever we find ourselves, we have this assurance. Our Father in heaven is with us to care for us, to hear our concerns, to hear our needs, to uphold it day after day after day. I read a wonderful description of God in a psalm this week. Psalm 68, verse 19. Here's a good memory verse for you. Psalm 68, verse 19, where the psalm writer says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up." That's a wonderful description, isn't it? Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up." And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're trusting in the Lord who daily bears us up. And as we trust in the Lord who daily bears us up, there won't be a day when he will let us down. That's reassuring, isn't it? Whatever tomorrow holds, we have that reassurance, that confidence. And so this prayer that's a humbling prayer, as we remember our dependence on God, well, as we remember our dependence, we remember that we're resting in the hands of this faithful, loving Father in heaven. We find that reassurance, whatever today, whatever tomorrow, whatever next week brings. And that becomes even more reassuring when we remember something else. When we remember that the Father who meets our need for bread meets a much deeper need as well. This Father we pray to for our daily bread, well, he meets a much deeper need for us as well. And in fact, Jesus took this image of bread to describe the greatest work he came to do. And we'll turn to John chapter 6, which is where we'll close our reflections this morning. And I'm on towards the end of John chapter 6, which is page 1617 in the Church Bibles. 1617, and I'll read from verse 48 in a moment. As Jesus takes this image of bread to describe his work, what he came to do, verse 48, one of the great I am statements of John's gospel. I am the bread of life. Now, how is he the bread of life? What does that mean? Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. We read about that earlier. They ate the manna in the wilderness. Here's another important fact. They died. And thinking generally in our world about bread, whatever kind of bread you eat, bread sustains us, but can't keep us alive forever. We die. And death is in our world because we have this issue of sin that I described earlier, of that attitude where we want to be independent from God. We want to live life on our terms, in our way. That attitude of independence, of sin. And the consequence of our sin, as Adam and Eve discovered, is death. separated from the God who gives us life. That's where sin leads. But in John 6, Jesus is telling us that he came to rescue us from sin, to rescue us from death, to rescue us from the consequences of our sin. And so he says in verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Jesus has come as the living bread to give us eternal life. When you go to the shop to buy bread, that will nourish your body for a short time. But the living bread will nourish our souls forever. To eternal life. How? When he talks about the bread that he'll give for the life of the world is his flesh, he's looking ahead to his death on the cross, where Jesus died, where the bread of life faced death, facing death in our place so that we could have life. Taking the consequences of our sins so that we don't need to take them anymore. So if we put our trust in him, if we believe in him, we can have new, lasting life with the God who made us. And that's what Jesus is describing when he says, if anyone eats of this bread. That's a bit of an odd image, perhaps. But he's just talking about trusting him, believing in him, putting our confidence in him, coming to him, asking for forgiveness, asking for new life. A new life that begins now, as we're brought into this new relationship with our Father in heaven, being able to trust his care for us day after day after day, knowing his promises to us and his presence with us. It begins now and it continues beyond our funerals into eternity, the day that's coming when all those who belong to Jesus will be raised with new glorious bodies and there'll be no more hunger of any kind ever again. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, says Jesus. That Jesus invites us today to come and to trust him and to find that eternal reassurance that only he can offer. And it may be that some of us need to come for the first time, trust in Jesus, to find this life that he offers. And if you think that might be you this morning, then I'd love to chat to you afterwards, or you can get in touch with me after the service. Or you can spend time when we're eating and drinking together in a moment, praying and asking Jesus to show you what it means to follow him and to find life in him. Or it could be today that you're not coming to Jesus for the first time, but we just come again and we remember that reassurance we can find in him now and forever. As he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So this harvest, as we pray those words, as we pray for our daily bread, it's a humbling prayer. We remember our complete dependence on God. It's a reassuring prayer because we're putting our whole lives in the hands of a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us. And it's a prayer that reminds us of the better bread that we find in Jesus, the living bread who came down from heaven. And because of that ongoing sin in our lives and our tendency towards wanting to be independent from God, well, we can forget our dependence on him. We can forget that reassurance we find in him. We can forget that better bread that we have in Jesus that gives us that eternal certainty. And Jesus knows that, and that's why he teaches us to pray for our daily bread as a correction to those temptations of independence. And so maybe this week, as you have breakfast, whether you have porridge or cereal or toast or honey from Tesco or whatever else you have, or eggs, you can have eggs at some point. Whatever you have for breakfast, maybe that'll be a good moment to remember our complete dependence on God and to remember that we are safe in his hands today and tomorrow. I don't know if you're in the habits of giving thanks at mealtimes, of what we sometimes call saying grace. And even if you are, sometimes that can be just a kind of perfunctory ritual that you say to get it out of the way so you can get on with the real business of eating. Or sometimes maybe you give thanks at lunch and dinner and not breakfast. It's interesting, isn't it? That we have different thresholds of what counts as a meal worth giving thanks for. But whatever your normal practice, maybe this week it'd be good for us to spend some time before we eat our breakfasts or while we're waiting for the kettle to boil to pray, give us this day our daily bread, to remember our complete dependence on God, to give thanks for that reassurance we find in him, and to ask you to help us to keep trusting him today, tomorrow, and into eternity.